Good evening. I call this Wednesday, August 14th, 2019, Planning and Zoning Commission meeting to order. I'm Chairman Jeff Olson, and I will be presiding over the meeting tonight. May I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Horace is absent. Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Here.
Olson?
Here.
Vineyard is absent. And Williams?
Here.
Thank you.
Previous meeting minutes. Are there any questions or amendments to the previous meeting minutes from Wednesday, July 10th, 2019? Seeing as there are none, may I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes from Wednesday, July 10th, 2019 Planning and Zoning Commission meeting?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Abstain.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Thank you.
Minutes are approved. Are there any citizens' comments from the public tonight regarding any topic that is not on tonight's agenda? Seeing as there are no comments, we'll move on to the public hearing. There are two public hearings scheduled for tonight's Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. The purpose of this hearing is to invite testimony from members of the public regarding the proposed request that is being considered before the commission tonight. Public testimony from persons present who wish to speak maybe for or against the request or to ask questions of the petitioner regarding their request being heard. Those persons wishing to testify are asked to speak clearly, one at a time, and state your name and who you represent at the podium. You're also asked to sign in the podium, or I saw the sign-in sheet going around already. If you plan to speak tonight during the public hearing as a petitioner or a member of the public, please stand now, raise your right hand, and repeat after me. I state your name. Do solemnly swear that the testimony I will present at this hearing is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. The order for receiving testimony tonight during the public hearing will be as follows. First, petitioner presentations. Second, those who wish to speak in favor of their request. And third, those who wish to speak in opposition of their request. May I please have a motion to open the public hearing on petition number PZC 2019-16, United City of Yorkville International Code Adoption, and PZC 2019-19, Lenny's Gas and Wash Special Use.
So moved.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Public hearing up for discussion tonight are the following. PCC 2019-16, the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois petitioner, is proposing to amend Title 8, Chapter 2, Building Codes of the Municipal Code for the purpose of adoption of the 2019 International Code Council Series, inclusive of, it's a long list here, the International Fuel Gas Code, International Plumbing Code, the International Mechanical Code, International Property Maintenance Code, International Fire Code, International Residential Code, International Building Code, International Existing Building Code, Illinois Energy Conservation Code, International Swimming Pool and Spa Code, 2014 Illinois State Plumbing Code, Illinois State Accessibility Code, and the 2017 National Electric Code. The second public hearing tonight is PZC 2019-19, Leonard McHenry, I believe, on behalf of the Lenny's Gas and Wash LLC petitioner, has filed an application with the United City of Yorkville, Kendall County, Illinois, requesting special use permit approval for a gasoline service station with accessory convenience store and ancillary car wash. Additionally, the petitioner is seeking sign variance approval to include the maximum sign area for a monument sign in a business district from 64 square feet to 107 square feet. The property is zoned B3 General Business District and is located at the northeast corner of State Route 47 Water Park Way intersection. Mr. Rados, would you please present your memo for PZC 2019-16, United City of Yorkville International Code Adoption?
We are looking to update our international building code from the 2009 we're currently on, 2018 building code cycle, which incorporates all the code controls of the state. In addition to that, we've also made amendments to the codes that keep it in spirit with our traditions in the area here and our existing amendments, and also the amendments of Kemp County, Oswego, Montgomery, other communities that track the code like our county. During city work with building the Fire Code Academy, which is one of the, which is the largest in Illinois outside consultant firm for building code matters. We also work with code officials from Oswego and the code officials from Pennell County because of the rationale there, both when we built the 2018 code, and we wanted to kind of stay in lockstep with them where they're going to be at. The major amendment change we've requested to make to the code is the removal of fire sprinklers for residential homes. While this has been, I can't say it's the fire department's happy, the Bristol County Fire Department's happy we've amended this out, there are safeguards that are in the code now that if you remove that standard, it increases the standard of the construction of houses to make them more fire resistant and safe for first responders. We would love to include it, but from what we've talked about with builders and things, it would push the price threshold of homes in the area to a point where it would sell the building exponentially. And also, with the addition of restrictions and requirements for new construction, we kind of feel that it would offset the not having fire suppression.
Can you detail those?
Absolutely. When you don't have fire suppression, it requires you to have any engineered materials forming your floor joists. In the basement, you have the sheet that would be a 3/4 structural sheet, plywood, or some of those lines, or a fire retardant membrane, one of those 1.5-hour, so drywall, staggered single fire tape. And that would be every penetration, nothing allowed through that, because as we found in the past, that these engineered products tend to burn very fast, and they maintain their structural support until they put any weight on. So that would be part of that. Also, any structures built closer, if you don't have fire suppression, if you're closer than 10 feet from a building line, you have to actually do the bottom course of your plywood, would have to be fire rated plywood. So instead of, it increases all those thresholds, where if you're, like currently right now in our code, if you were to build a home and be 9 foot off the property line, a standard window, standard plywood. And the new code update would actually require your 9 foot off. You have to do fire rated plywood on the entire side of the building, and your windows would have to be tempered and then all be specially treated to resist the flame damage, so we're maintaining that barrier of an hour and a half barrier. There's also a requirement for to do like flame spread analysis of all the materials in the house and interior finishes. So if anyone's familiar with the natural fiber wallpaper, that burns very, very well. So in today's code, we don't have anything to address this. If I go to a house and walk through it, it's got the natural, you kind of want to know this, it could burn very easily.
If the fire, or if the wallpaper's made of matchsticks.
Yeah, you know, it's some bamboo fibers, one very popular ones now. And in the current code, we address flame spread on the commercial aspect, we don't address residential. This brings that entire discussion to residential in this new code, if you don't have fire suppression. And on top of that, there's also a smoke spread index and drops your amount of...
I didn't know what that smoke spread index was.
It basically says that every material has a flame spread and has a smoke spread index. So if you were to, say, burn a propylene carpet type material, it would release X amount of
smoke.
You know, cubic feet of smoke per however many yards of fabric you burn. And so on a commercial building, for example, you'll see how a lot of times... Hotels, you see the carpet, hotels, hospitals, you'll see the carpet feels different under your feet and it looks different. That's because that is treated to not have a high smoke spread. It'll just smolder and die instead of actually combust. The residential carpet just burns. So, if for some reason, we get a builder come in and they want to, use that high end wallpaper and the super high end, thick, plush, natural wool, which does exist carpet, that has a super high flame spread and smoke index. We say, well, you can do it, but you're going to have to fire suppress it.
So,
or not have to follow us.
So although we're not going all the way with the sprinklers, this is a significant upgrade to the fire suppression code. Okay.
Yes. I mean, there is a lot of increased standards. And that's one of the issues in the current code run now is they just assume that everyone would say, okay, fire sprinklers are the way to go. We found most communities in our area, most communities around the country, have amended that portion out, and it pretty much left the code open for, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever as long as the code, but then we amended out fire suppression, so we had different thresholds on height and everything like that. That was assumed everyone would be fire suppressed. This does not assume that at all. If you amend out a whole new set of criteria or something.
Sure. Are there any other highlights from the different international code books we're picking up? Worth mentioning?
You know, there's a lot of incremental changes over the years. We're three code cycles behind right now.
2007 or what? What is
2008
it?
Right now. And we're going to be 2018. Another one of the big areas they address clearly in the new modern code that Chris mentioned we're on is solar and different energy solutions. For example, if you see houses in the rear of the house, the entire rear of the house is covered with solar panels. That's not going to be allowed under this new code section, not because of not wanting people to generate their own energy. It's not allowed because they have to allow at least 3 feet from the outside edge of the roof for a pathway for first responders.
Yeah.
And they all have to have a clear path to the center of the roof as well. So it's just more of a design criteria. What they found is that if there's a fire and the firefighters trying to get up to the roof, and there's nowhere to access the rear of the property. In more extreme cases where they run a 25-kilowatt system where it's an entire roof, they can't access it at all. So how do they get their finger holes and fiddle with the structure? They're carrying out solar panels, and it doesn't work. It also clearly defines all the signage we need to have on all the solar components. It sounds silly to say, but a really large red sticker on the disconnect box up on the eave of the roof and one down by where the electrical panel's at, it can make all the difference in rolling the smoke's flying. They have their masks on.
Sure.
You can see they might pull a disconnect, and it could be the wrong one. Just remember, there's three or four right there. Not their sticker now, but just says solar disconnect. In the new code, it requires exact, specific, same stickers for everything, so that it's universal.
Question, Pete. Current existing structures, those won't be grandfathered in, correct? Those will have to be updated to code?
No, those can stay the way they are.
Oh, okay. Because I know in Autumn Creek you have a number of where solar panels just cover the whole back of the roof. So I just want to say that would be...
Those are grandfathered in as of now.
Right.
And the only way that they would have to come to code is if you were to basically have to remodel 51% or greater of the structure.
Uh-huh.
And then even that is subject to the aspect of the code also says 50% of the structure by a level. So if you were to say, if you had a, God forbid something happened in the rear end of your house, you have to 50% of the structure if the first floor branch is gone. We're not going to make you update the entire basement to be code as well, because that's not the same level.
Gotcha. Thank you.
Anything else, Pete?
Just one more thing is the property name code. We've adjusted that a little bit. Added the biggest section we've added is dead trees. Right now, we currently have restrictions and the ability to issue fines and citations or citations to bring to hearing for emerald ash, or harbors, and ash or elm trees.
Mm-hmm.
We've added a quite wordy, long section about trees into the new property maintenance code because we found that as time goes on, we all know different types of arborist diseases and things affect trees, both like the blaze disease that's hitting a lot of the pear varieties now. It ends up leaving a lot of dead trees in the community. While we understand that it's expensive to remove the trees, we'd like to be able to have a way, a mechanism to try to make enforcement on that. Because even though it's on your property, what's the neighbor's house, what's the little kids that run around? Some of these trees can be accessible 100 to 150 feet high. If they fall, they're not necessarily going to fall on the end of your property.
Very good. Is there anyone... Anything else? Thank you. Is there anyone who wishes to speak in favor of their request tonight? Is there anyone who wishes to speak in opposition of their request tonight? Is there any other questions for Pete right now? All right. Is the petitioner for PCC 2019-19 present and prepared to make the presentation of the proposed request?
Good evening. My name is Lyman Team, and I'm the attorney for Len McHenry. And Len is the sole member and manager of Lenny's Gas and Wash, Yorkville LLC, that was set up specifically for the purpose of acquiring 5.04 acres of property on the northeast corner of Water Parkway and Route 47. The property that we're acquiring, we're under contract currently, the property that we're acquiring is from the Betty O'Keefe Limited Family Partnership, which is the owner of the entire tract, which is currently 72 acres. What we're looking to do, we filed several applications with Yarko. What we're looking to do is come in and obtain a special use permit from the city of Yorkville to allow for a gas station convenience store, car wash, to operate on that corner. We've also filed a petition for a plat of subdivision to take the piece of property we're acquiring, break that into two lots. Lot one would be our property at 5.04 acres. Lot two would be a right-of-way dedication of 55 feet to the Illinois Department of Transportation that runs on 47. And we've made an application for a sign variance, not to vary the height or anything of that nature, but to vary the square footage of the sign from 64 feet to, I think it's 107 square feet, because of the setback from the corner, to allow it to be a little bit more readable in light of the fact that there will be a 55-foot dedication to the Illinois Department of Transportation, and to provide adequate area on the monument sign to allow for the E85 fueling, as well as the diesel fueling and the car fueling, and any other advertisements that we have for the operation within the convenience store. The convenience store would be 7,000 square feet. We're intending to have two food vendors within the convenience store. One is a For Certain, which is Dunkin' Donuts. The other one is still kind of up in the air, somewhere between a Pops roast beef and a taco facility within the convenience store. We have segregated the car fueling more in the front of the property from the diesel fueling more off up to the side to the rear of the property. We are currently in contact with the Illinois Department of Transportation to obtain approval for a right-in, right-out on 47. We've met with Christy, we've met with Jason, we've met with the Economic Development Committee, we've gone through the state up till now. We've attempted all throughout the course of the process to refine our site plan to bring it into compliance with signage and landscaping and other requirements, setbacks, other bulk requirements of the city of Yorkville. I have with me tonight, if you have any specific questions, or they can give you a presentation, but I brought with me this evening Kevin McHenry, who is the brother of the owner, Len McHenry, and he's representing ownership. We also have Brian Hertz, who is our civil engineer from MG2A and Associates in Manhattan. We also have Scott Pritchett with ARSA Associates, who is our architect on the project. And we have Greg Galvin, who is going to lead up the construction phase of the project. If we're able to move this project forward, we would like to be in a position to break ground and begin construction immediately after approval by the City Council, hopefully to get far enough along so that we don't get held back by the winter weather that I think we're all going to see at some point in time. We're hoping to close on the property somewhere around the 13th or the 15th of September and begin construction immediately, unless the seller would give us permission to begin construction a little bit early. And we're working on that right now, trying to make contact with the seller to accomplish that. We think this will be a good project for the city. It's certainly, I think, compatible with what exists there currently. We've got the water park basically to the east and parking lot for the water park to the south of us. Our property is currently zoned B3. The 72 acres is zoned B3. The property to the east and south of us, properties to the east and south are currently zoned B3. And property across 47 is zoned R4, which my understanding that was zoned a while back for a residential subdivision that so far really hasn't taken root. So we believe that we're going to be compatible with all of the existing zoning and potential future uses in the area. And we, we're excited. We want to be in the city of Yorkville, and we want to move this project forward as quickly as we can. If you have any questions, we'd be happy to address them.
We'll get through the questions, comments, and I'll probably circle back for additional questions once we get back and talk about them. Is there anyone who presently wishes to speak in favor of the request? Please state your name.
I'm Lynn Zubicek, and I'm an economic development coordinator for the city of Yorkville. I've had the pleasure of working with this team for a number of months now, and I just wanted to give you a couple highlights on the project from my perspective, from an economic development perspective. This is a great project for our community. It creates somewhere around 40 jobs, and it is a need in the area. We understand that many people, it's proximity to the water park, many people leave our water park, leave Yorkville, go north on 47, and need to get supplies or gas in their car, and they leave our community and they drive outside of our community to make these transactions. It's an area that was identified a while ago and brought to our attention, my attention, as a high priority to attract something like this. So it was a priority for our community. Also, originally, you may remember this company had been working with them at a property on 34. At that time, they were going to do a C store that was only 4,800 square feet, and this one is now 7,000 square feet. So there's much more that they're bringing to this site. It allows them to be able to do so.
For reference, 7,000 square foot is like half the size of a Walgreens, so it's a nice size building.
It's a very nice size building. And adding, you know, not only the Dunkin' Donuts, but the other food choices, it's a nice amenity near the water park. The other thing that I wanted to mention is the remainder of that property that is owned by the O'Keefe family is still very large, and we're also very hopeful. I talked with the O'Keefe family today. We're also very hopeful that this will act as another catalyst to maybe get some other things happening up there. So very key to future planning, and I'm very excited about the project as well. And also, I know that they spoke about getting started very quickly because they want to get started before the weather gets cold and not unable to work. And it is their goal to actually open in the spring and be open before the water park opens next May, which will be a wonderful thing because it will allow that to be seamless. So when the water park opens, it'll be there and operational. Thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else wish to speak in favor of the request? Does anyone wish to speak in opposition to the request? Seeing as... Well, actually, are there any other questions for commissioners right now? Otherwise, we can go over it. Okay.
You've got this letter from the landscape guy who apparently didn't like the original plan. Has that all been taken care of?
Oh, the landscape plan? Yeah, it's everything will be a condition of the special use. Any comments within the landscape plan or EEI will be part of the special use to rectify that situation before anything gets off.
Yeah, because... I picked up, he didn't like it. The original plan. I'm very astute that way.
Yeah.
And the driveway turning radius to take care of it, the lighting. Yeah.
So the original plans that were brought in during plan council have been adapted and changed to the most current versions that are attached. The driveway has been moved back. Some of the landscape has been changing. An economic development committee, some other comments were made about the landscaping along 47. That we've added in. Just the that strip, that 55-foot strip, they had some trees in there. That comment was made. If those are going to get ripped out when IDA takes over, could you try and get them onto your property in that front so we're not just putting in trees and then ripping them out? So those comments will all be conditional on the special use moving forward.
This is a special use we do need to... Okay. Would the petitioner like to have your responses to the standards which you submitted previously entered into the public record?
Wait,
recommend that you enter your responses to the standards for special.
Oh, I'm sorry. I misunderstood. Yes, we would ask that you adopt the standards that we had indicated with our application for special use.
Thank you. All right. Since all public testimony regarding these petitions has been taken, we have a motion to close the taking of testimony in this public hearing, please.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
The public hearing portion of tonight's meeting is closed. We have one meeting on the agenda for unfinished business, PZC 2019-17 Margaret LeGrand rezoning classification and bulk regulation variance. Is this because we read the motion wrong?
Yes. So our minute taker is going through the minutes. We kind of realized, I think we all remember, we got a little backwards on some of the motions because there were four separate ones. It seems that we read the same one twice or we misread one. So just for a confirmation on the way you wanted to vote, we were just requesting that you, for the record, restate your motion.
Okay.
And re-vote.
It only has to do with
one of the variances, which was the lot coverage variance. That was going from 45% to 45%.
The memo
from the previous meeting is in there. If you guys have any questions or need a refresher. We started creating a motion sheet that is separate now.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so now you won't have to flip through the memos and try and find the motion. Try to alleviate. So it's the first thing on the motion sheet. If you guys have any questions about the petition, if you need a refresher or anything.
The first one on the motion sheet is not 701.
Yeah, it's has to do with the state comment.
Do we have that motion language in the packet elsewhere?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so can I have a motion then, please, to approve position PZC 2019-17?
So moved.
Would you read it, please, Daniel?
In consideration of testimony presented during the public hearing on July 10th, 2019, and approval of the findings of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request to vary the maximum lot coverage for R2 district contained in Section 10-7-1 of the United City of Yorkville Zoning Code from 45% to 48%, as stated in the staff memorandum dated July 1st, 2019, and further subject to...
You're good. You're good. Thank you. Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Williams?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes. Motion is approved. Seeing as there are no additional items that I messed up last week, we'll move on to new business. Do you guys have anything you want to add on the 2019-16
amendment? Yeah, I just want to add something. Pete did an outstanding
job. I was just going to say thank you, because, I mean, I'm in construction, and I don't understand all that, and I know you do. So thank you for going over everything, because I don't know what we would do without you being able to do it. So thank you.
He did an outstanding job, and he also created a website so that people could input information if they have any questions. Nice. Or if they suggested any other changes that we hadn't considered.
True.
I don't know if you got a lot of feedback from that.
The largest feedback we received from things they wanted to amend or change is we had a couple different requests to consider amending our own requirements for the UAC code. We decided that wasn't a very good idea at this point in time because our neighbor communities, while our current code has amended requirements of our fault, our communities have slowly but surely gone away from that, where it's required to repair a house in the UAC code.
Can you explain our fault?
Basically, our fault is 4 to 5 acres per house on certain tree because of the amount of lights per, for example, traditional can lights you have in your kitchen, it's 7 on one circuit. The modern LED lights we're seeing in all the houses, you put 37 on a circuit.
Okay.
So we figure that the technology increase and the diminishing amount of breakers you have, that more than pays for the cost of the additional protection. And we didn't feel like we wanted to be the only community in the area that had them into that. And it seems like a fairly solid technology now, where 10 years ago, 12 years ago, the technology wasn't quite there. They used to trip a lot for no reason at all. Now they seem to work on a fairly consistent basis. There's a problem with the circuit. So what is there for?
Great. Anything else you want to add? Do any of the planning and zoning members have any more questions for Pete? Donna, anything about our fault? No?
Good.
May I have a motion then, please, to approve the petition, PZC 2019-16 International Code Adoption?
So moved.
Read the motion, please.
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 14th, 2019, and discussions conducted at the meeting, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council, a request to adopt the proposed 2018 series of international codes, the Illinois State Assembly Code, the 2014 Illinois State Plumbing Code, the 2017 National Electric Code, as summarized in a staff memorandum dated July 30th, 2019.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Williams?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Thank you.
Motion is approved. Jason, do you want to talk any more about PZC 2019-19? Lenny's guessing.
Yes, I will. Planning did an excellent job of kind of overviewing what they are proposing there, all materials, for visual during your packet. I'll go over just quickly how their request lines up with our regulations. So I'll move on just straight to like our bulk regulations for front, side, corner, side, rear yards. They meet all our standards by a good amount. A lot of our measurements were taken actually from the car wash, as that's in front of the C-sort, so that's actually considered where we measure from. No matter what, it was all within our regulations, as well as the building height. Overall, the maximum height I believe on the car wash is 34 feet, which was shown on their elevations. The V3 district has a maximum height of 8 feet, so they're well within that. And they are also within our lot coverage standards. Lot coverage in the V3 is 80%, and they only have a 67% lot coverage. So they meet all our bulk regulations, setbacks, and standards for the V3 districts. Parking and loading. The submitted plans show they have 31 parking spaces with 2 handicap spots. There's also an additional 15 spots for vacuuming and for the car wash. They're required to have 21 spaces. It's 3 per 1,000 square feet of the 7,000 square foot building. So again, they exceed our regulations when it comes to parking. In terms of loading, they do not have to have a loading dock on either building. It was suggested by staff that they have some sort of loading zone that is not directly in front of the building. It can be a problem that, those box trucks kind of pull right in. People can't get out. People can't get in to get their gas. So on the plans across the way, closer to 47, they designated a zone for pickup and drop-offs to alleviate that issue.
Good catch.
In terms of stacking, the Dunkin' Donuts, I believe, will have a drive-through through the back.
Will or will not have a drive-through?
The what?
Will or will not?
It will have a drive-through. So we have 2 different stacking requirements, one for the car wash, one for a restaurant or fast food. They meet both standards. You get 5 vehicles for the car wash beforehand and 2 afterwards, which they meet. And then the restaurant for food, you need 3 before the vending board and 3 spots before the first window. And they are actually providing 7 vehicle spots behind the vending board and 3 behind the first window. So they exceed that as well. Moving on to the appearance code, it's required for the commercial areas to have 50% incorporating a masonry product. And then 50% should be also on the front facade. The entire building, both buildings will be brick masonry, so they completely meet those standards as well. Moving on to signage, the complete signage package was submitted. As Lyman previously mentioned, they are asking for a sign variance to enlarge the sign to 107 square feet. They will not be increasing the height of the sign. To compare to the Casey's, so the Casey's gas station was 2017. They also asked for a sign variance due to the E85. It's a state regulation. They have to have certain parts of the signage on there. They asked for an increase, and they asked for a 32% increase. Gas Wash is asking for a 40% increase.
What's the total square footage on the Casey's?
The Casey's, I believe, was 48. I think they went to 48 square feet. They were a smaller site, so they were only allowed a maximum of 32 square feet. This site's larger than 3 acres, so they're allowed 64 square feet.
Gotcha.
So percentage-wise of what they're asking, since it is a larger property, and also due to the setback, the 55-foot setback off 47, they're requesting the enlargement, you know, for visibility, and they're going to have two separate shops in there, so it helps them, you know, create, have their sides that they absolutely need for the gas prices while also being able to advertise those stores. And because of those reasons, staff is generally supportive of that request.
We've previously approved sign increases due for speed of which traffic's going past the sign, for the gas station signage regulations. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that we architecturally, the one at Kendall Cross?
Kendall Cross, that was a little different.
It was Kendall Marketplace,
yeah.
Right.
Now, Kendall Crossing, we did do.
So this isn't out of line. What I'm getting at is this isn't out of line with what we've previously done the last couple.
Correct. Moving on to driveways, as I previously mentioned at the planning council meeting, the original driveway was exactly 200 feet from the intersection currently. Requested that they move that first intersection back, so when that 55-foot right-of-way is gone, it'll still be within that 200 feet. There were a lot of discussions on, you know, traffic coming out of raging waves, things coming in and things getting blocked off, so by pushing it back, we're hoping to alleviate those kinds of concerns. We were just also suggesting a block entrance sign for people leaving raging waves to just don't park your car there, and then if someone's trying to turn left in, try and avoid that.
Are they, could be a weird question. So the watermark is close to the seagull, are they gonna block off that road past the gas station, or can people just drive back to the watermark and look at one?
Yeah, I think they've left it open in previous years.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, with the gas station, that they're going to have all these people here now off-season, so they can leave that road open so people can just be in the back.
It's like a public road.
It's a public road.
It has to stay open. It's actually
a what about their access to their, by their offices? Can they lock that? I'm just saying.
They do with software, so I only know because I go back there for other issues. They have large yellow software, so they block them all off with.
Is that a dead end back there?
It isn't.
Or does that go around?
Is it leave as a dead end?
Does it go all the way around?
Water Park Way?
Yeah.
I believe dead ends. I believe the
adventure. Not a water park adventure.
It would go all the way up and
connect to the
street.
I think it goes all the way around.
What's the road in Bristol Bay?
It was planned originally that
doesn't
it was going to go around and come out of Galena where the subdivision was.
It was connected to Bristol Bay, right?
Right, but that never happened, so it ends at the end of the water park.
Right.
And the water park, just so you know, they're there literally 365 days a year. There is someone at that water park 24 hours a day. So they have their staff, and they have someone that's there. Even in the dead of winter, even when, you know, they're not open, there is staff at the water park. So.
Thank you. What else you got?
We'll move on to lighting. They provide a photometric plan. It meets almost all of our standards. The only standard it did not meet was our our ratio, our light intensity ratio. excessive ratio, which is proposed at 22.1 to 1, and the 20 to 1 is our maximum. We've already talked with the engineer. They're working on getting one, fidgeting with the plan.
I think the casing and lighting was well done. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's obtrusive. Obviously, it's lit like a gas station, but the city did good making sure that wasn't shooting out on the 34.
So it'll be the same standards
that
Casey's meets. That'll be part of the condition of the special use as well, but a new photometric plan will be submitted that meets that standard. Additionally, the petitioner provided a truck turning template. Lyman spoke to that as well about the entrance on 47. There was one spot where it kind of goes over the curb. So either that's going to be mountable or it's going to be moved to where that's not going to be an issue for trucks. That will also be a condition of the special use that is taken care of. Staff is satisfied with all the other turning areas in the back for if you're going northbound or southbound. In terms of sidewalks, petitioner is locating a sidewalk on the southern side of Water Park Way. That will go all the way across the property as our regulations require.
So it does link to the water park.
So it links to, there's a crosswalk at 47 Water Park Way.
Yep.
And then there's also a bike trail that comes up 47 from the south.
Yep.
So we'll connect there. If you're coming from the south and want to get to Gas and Wash, it was EEI's reference that that's the crosswalk you use. There were discussions about having a potential crosswalk for people coming from Raging Wave and coming over. EEI said, we're now promoting people putting themselves in a dangerous spot coming across while traffic's going back and forth. So they decided, let's try and focus them to get there. Let's provide a sidewalk on the south end. Additionally, at EDC, I guess I'll just cover now, it was brought up that there should be some pedestrian walkway or something on site leading up to the building. So as people are going through the parking lot, they know where to walk. If there's a sidewalk that connects to that southern sidewalk.
Like thermoplastic, like striping or something? Or
Either sidewalk or striping. Maybe striping on that, but also a sidewalk goes to the striping across the way and then back up to the C-store.
Okay.
Just because it's pretty much anticipated that people from Raging Waves will either be leaving, getting food and coming back, or just on their way out, walking across the way.
We were concerned about Casey's walking, and I really think that would be a big issue. I don't know if it is an issue, but for here, absolutely, there will be people walking. That's smart.
Finally, comprehensive plan. Looking at the future land use, it's designated for retail, which is meant for small to medium scale, auto-oriented commercial uses, which Gas and Wash is. It follows all of those actual guidelines, so it is completely in line with the comprehensive plan. I'll go over some of the comments made in Economic Development Committee and then go over some of the conditions staff feels to be committed to the special use. We already talked about the landscaping being moved adjacent on site off that 50-foot right eventual hideout dedication. Comment was to provide a scaled sign location on one of the site plans, which shows the monument sign and where it's going to be to get a better understanding on how visible it's going to be.
Did you say it's 55 foot off the center line of 47?
It's a 55 foot from the existing
property
line. The dedication of the plat.
Okay.
So that was also requested. And then also the on-site walkways requested at EDC. So all three of those we put as a condition of the special use, so when they eventually come in, they'll be beholden to have some sort of site plan and those things submitted to us before it's approved.
Okay.
So staff comments were in support of this project, were in support of what they're requesting. They're also, it was not part of the public hearing, but they're requesting final plat approval, which is part of your right, so that's why there's a third motion. They submitted a final plat application. So they're looking for recommendation for approval on that as well. special use or subject to the special use amended photometric plan, which we talked about, updating the truck turning plate template to remove obstructions we talked about. They'll have to comply with all the comments given by EEI and the landscape company to ensure that it meets our standards. And I believe those are all, we went over all the others. So, if you guys have any questions for staff about the project, I'd be happy to answer. Did I miss anything?
No, not for me. No. I'm going to spend a lot of money at this place. I've been saying for years that they need to put a gas station and a coffee shop there, so yes, so I don't have to.
Every time I drive, how can this be sitting here by itself? This is nuts.
I'm tired of going to Sugar Grove for both. So there are a few things in life I'm looking more forward to than this place. So that'd be great.
One thing I don't like about the sign: gas prices are good.
Ah.
Aside from that, it's fine.
Yeah, can we modify the graphic?
I don't know if we can do that part of the special.
Is that a guarantee? Can we put that in there?
If you can get us an exemption from the new gas tax,
maybe you could do something.
We have to tax our way out of it. Prosperity.
Any questions for Jason? No. All right. May I? Let's see here. May I have a motion to approve? Well, we do need to go over findings of fact and we stand as we're in. All right. So first, the special use. I'm going to read this all out loud. Section 10-4-9F of the City Zoning Ordinance establishes standards for special use requests. These standards shall apply to both the request for special use authorization of a fuel/gasoline service station and planned unit development modification. No special use shall be recommended by the Planning Commission unless said commission shall find that the establishment, maintenance, or operation of the special use will not be unreasonably detrimental or endanger the public health, safety, morals, comfort, or general welfare. In my opinion, will not at all. The special use will not be injurious to the use and enjoyment of other property in the immediate vicinity for the purpose already permitted, nor substantially diminish or impair property values within the neighborhood. It will not. The establishment of the special use will not impede the normal and orderly development and improvement of surrounding properties for uses permitted in the district. It will not. Adequate utilities, access roads, drainage, or other necessary facilities have been or are being provided. We didn't address stormwater. Maybe the storm track.
So they are doing detention.
Okay.
And that detention will have to be a dormant SSA, so the city has an opportunity to go if they fail to maintain it.
Wonderful. Adequate measures have been or will be taken to providing ingress and egress, so designed as to minimize traffic congestion on public streets. Jason touched on that. The special use shall, in all other respects, conform to the applicable regulations of the district in which it is located, except as such regulations may, in each instance, be modified by the City Council pursuant to the recommendations of the Planning Commission. Okay. Standards for granting a sign variance. The Planning and Zoning Commission must base its decision to vary or recommend varying the petitioner's request for relief of the zoning ordinance regulation upon the following standards. And I will remind everybody that this is one that we do have the final say on, right? Because of the particular physical surrounding, shape or topographical conditions of the specific property involved, a particular hardship to the owner would result, as distinguished from mere convenience, if the strict letter of the regulations was carried out. While it is going to be umpteen number of feet off the building, it is a 55 mile an hour, it's not out of line to request this increase in the sign at all. The condition upon which the petition for a variation is based are unique to the property for which the variation is sought and are not applicable generally to other property within the same zoning classification. The alleged difficulty or hardship is caused by this title and has not been created by any person. No, it's with regulations on gas prices. The granting of the variation will not be detrimental to the public welfare or interest to other property improvements in the neighborhood of which property is located, but will not. The proposed variation will not impair an adequate supply of light and air to adjacent property or substantially increase the congestion in the public streets or increase the danger to the public safety or substantially diminish and impair property values in the neighborhood. I would argue it will increase public safety, be more visible, and I will be squinting less at gas prices. The proposed variation is consistent with the official comprehensive plan and other development standards and policy of the city, which it is. And then,
I didn't get that. Could you read it again?
No. No. You're welcome to yourself.
That's good.
In addition to the procedures and standards listed regarding variations from the requirements, the Planning and Zoning Commission shall also consider the following factors in hearing testimony and making decisions regarding sign variance requests. If the sign was erected legally with a sign permit, not applicable. If there are any unique physical characteristics of the property, none. If there are limited available locations for signage on the property, yes, in relation to 47. The cost of the applicant of complying with the requirements of this chapter, not applicable. The sign is on or faces a street with a 40-mile-per-hour or higher speed limit. It is. If the sign is on a street with a 20,000 or higher vehicle trips per day, I would have to imagine we well exceed that. If the sign would be blocked by existing or required landscaping, I think it doesn't matter. If a wall sign facing a public right of way without a public, if it is a wall sign, do they mean monument sign or a wall mounted sign?
A wall mounted sign,
which is also not applicable. Okay, and the petitioner did provide written responses to these standards, which are included in the packet. Do we need to do anything for the final plat?
No, there are no standards for final plat. Okay.
Then, may I have a motion, please, to approve petition PZC 2019-19, Lenny's Gas and Wash Special Use Permit and Sign Variance.
So moved. Second.
Roll call. Oh, actually, we need to read the motion. Don?
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 14th, 2019, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval to the City Council of a request for special use authorization for a fuel/gasoline service station with accessory car wash to be located at the northeast corner of State Route 47 and Water Park Way, subject to the conditions enumerated in the staff memorandum dated August 7th, 2019.
Now, do you want us to read then the three comments? The landscape, just 47, those need to be?
Those are enumerated in the memorandum.
Okay, so those are automatic. All right. Do we need to vote specifically on each three of these?
Correct. Each motion needs to be read right. Separately and voted on.
Then may I have a roll call then vote on that special use motion, please?
Yes. Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Motion is approved. May I have a motion, please, to approve petition PZC 2019-19, Lenny's Gas and Wash Special Use Permit and Sign Variance in regard to the sign variance, then, please.
So, second.
Would you please read that?
In consideration of testimony presented during a public hearing on August 14th, 2019, and approval of the finding of fact, the Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of a request to vary the sign regulations contained in Section 10-20-9-A of the United City of Yorkville Zoning Ordinance to permit a freestanding monument sign in a business district to be larger than 64 square feet in sign area, subject to the conditions enumerated in the staff memorandum dated August 7th, 2019.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Yes. Markham?
Yes.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
The motion is approved. Excuse me. May I have a motion to approve the petition PZC 2019-19 Lenny's Gas and Wash Special Use Permit and Sign Variance in relation to the final plat?
So moved.
Second.
Read it, please.
Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the City Council of a request for the final plats of the subdivision of Lenny's Gas and Wash in Yorkville, subject to the final engineering approval and is enumerated in the letter of Engineering Enterprise Incorporated dated June 9, 2019 and August 7, 2019 and is subject to consider. I don't have a class, but I can see.
You're doing great.
Can you find the conditions enumerated in dated August 7th, 2020.
Roll call vote on the motion, please.
Olson?
Yes.
Williams?
Yes.
Hyatt?
Yes.
Markham?
Yes.
Motion is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there any additional business?
Thank you.
The 701 with the rezone and the variances were approved, and then also the text amendment to Campus 2 and Campus 3 for the zoning plan was also approved.
One thing I forgot to follow up with you on was that Lansky's contractor, Alex Bristol, did we ever find out what was going on? West, no, north of Bristol, there was a guy that wanted to do the, he was going to have a gigantic mulching plant out there, and I thought, you got to help my memory.
Is it Velasquez?
I don't remember what the name of it was, but we.
Semperfy.
Help my memory out. What I remember is it wasn't supposed to be there. Last time I went by, it was in the operating.
So. He moved to the Fox Industrial Park.
So he's not there anymore?
Yeah, I don't
think
still?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it might be, like I said, he might be, I haven't seen him, we haven't had a complaint about it, I haven't seen him manufacturing, so we'll definitely check it out.
But is his property, the one he was looking to do the special use was outside of the property?
It was the farm.
It was the farm, and it was outside of our corporate limits. We were doing a 1.5 mile review. So is that the same location or a
yes,
different location?
Same.
So he's in the county on that particular parcel. He's that carve out.
Yeah,
he's that carve out. That's the county.
Yeah, that's a whole.
Yeah, we tried to look into that, bringing him into the city. That didn't happen. But yeah, he is not. So he can have. He already has a special use in the county for that. He just didn't have a special use for the landscaping business, but he could mulch.
I got you.
Yeah, and
okay.
Store.
He just couldn't
there.
Sell it.
Yeah, he just couldn't sell it.
Okay, that's it. Thank you. Seeing as there's nothing further on the agenda tonight, may I have a motion to adjourn, please?
So moved.
All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
All those opposed say no. Meeting adjourned. 7:03.